Can start.
So yes, Madhuri. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji to enlighten us on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Mataji will enlighten us on Antya Leela chapter 8 and verse number 1 onwards. So Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association and time. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you all so much for all your wonderful association. Thank you, Mataji, for warmly introducing everybody. Thank you for all your blissful chanting. So we'll start now. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत अंत्य लीला चैप्टर 8 टुडे वी विल स्टार्ट चैप्टर नंबर 8 एंड चैप्टर 8 एंटाइटल्स इज रामचंद्रपुरी क्रिटिसाइजेस द लॉर्ड सो देयर इज अ समरी सो वी विल रीड द समरी फर्स्ट एंड we'll read couple of verses and then we'll see what we can add on to it. So chapter 8, Ramachandra Puri criticizes the Lord. The following summary of the 8th chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabhava Bhashya. This chapter describes the history of the Lord's dealings with Ramachandra Puri. Although Ramachandra Puri was one of the disciples of Madhavendra Puri, he was influenced by dry Mayavadis and therefore he criticized Madhavendra Puri. Therefore, Madhavendra Puri accused him of being an offender and rejected him. Because Ramachandra Puri had been rejected by his spiritual master, he became concerned only with finding faults in others and advising them according to dry Mayavadi philosophy. For this reason, he was not very respectful to the Vaishnavas. And later, he became so fallen that he began criticizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his eating. Hearing his criticisms, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reduced his eating. But after Ramachandra Puri left Jagannath Puri, the Lord resumed his usual behavior. ओम अज्ञानते विरंदस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिचारु स्वामीनिति नामिने नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद मुखम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरं यत् कृपहातम हम वंदे श्री गुरु दीन तारिणं गुरुवे गौर चंद्राय राधिकाय तदालाय कृष्णाय कृष्ण भक्ताय तद भक्ताय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण सो Before I start my class, I want to give a disclaimer that this class is only and only for me, for myself, for my purification. But at the same time, taking up as a service, you know, I took up as a part of puring myself in, and of course in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But I still seek heartfelt blessings, wishes and prayers from all of you so that whatever I speak, you know, may I be able to imbibe in my life also. So, Vancha Kalpataruvascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Anantakoti Vaishnavrindiki Jai. So, today's topic is very, very, you know, I don't know what to say, but it's not easy for me at least to imbibe in my life. But maybe I have to rectify it. So that's why this topic came on me. So this is the chapter 8 that describes about Ramachandra Puri. So actually, we all know that how Madhavendra Puri is, we have a devotional tree, right? So Madhavendra Puri is the root of the devotional tree, or you can say the seed of the devotional tree. But that trunk is what we see is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And from the trunk of the tree, the various branches comes out. And various branches are like of Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Shivas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, and so on and so forth. And from those branches, the sub-branches come. So this is the whole devotional tree. Now, Madhavendra Puri has many disciples. Among them were Ramachandra Puri, Paramananda Puri, Advaita Acharya. These all were the disciples, and Ishwara Puri. These all were the disciples of Madhavendra Puri. And we know our dear Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from Ishwara Puri, who was also the dear disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So this way, for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ishwara Puri, Advaita Acharya, and Paramananda Puri and Ramachandra Puri, they were, you know, he regarded them as their spiritual uncle, because Ishwara Puri was a spiritual master, like a spiritual father. But the rest of them being the god brothers of Ishwara Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked them forward for as, like, you know, as a spiritual uncle. So that was the mood. I just want to set up that what's the relationship before I move forward. So Ramachandra Puri was the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Ishwara Puri was also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So as the introduction that we read is that how Ramachandra Puri, you know, he was being the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. He was very much influenced by the Dvaitavadi's philosophy. Though Madhavendra Puri always used to deal in the topic of a pure devotional service, because he's the one who is the seed or is the root of that devotional tree. So he's the one who deals only with the pure devotional service, whereas his disciple, you know, Ramachandra Puri, you know, he was mostly into the dry philosophy of Mayavadis. And because of something happened, we'll see into it, that he offended his spiritual master, and that led to a great fall down of Ramachandra Puri to an extent that he later started criticizing even Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his eating, that how much sweets he's eating. I'll not disclose the whole chapter, but you know, we'll come to it as and when we progress in the chapter, we'll come to know that how he even criticized Jagananda Pandit, he also criticized Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the point, the topic, the theme of today will be mostly that when we criticize or when we do fault finding, or in a broader sense, if we do a Vaishnava aparad, then that leads to all other aparadas. That's why when we chant the 10 offenses to be avoided, to get Krishna prema, or to chant the holy name, the first offense is this offense that we should avoid criticizing or fault finding or blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their life for propagating the holy name. That's the first offense, and which is regarded as the foundational offense, because on this offense, rest all the offenses are there. Because if we make this offense of Vaishnava Prad, then all other offenses will also follow. Though inattentive chanting is also sometimes regarded as the foundational one, because if we are chanting inattentively, and if we are not focusing on the holy name, then our mind is going here and there, what this person is doing, what that person is doing, how he behaved, how she behaved, how she is acting, you know, if we go on, you know, definitely the Vaishnava Prad will come. But if we leave aside the inattentive chanting, then still, you know, the foundational point is of doing a Vaishnava Prad. Because when we do Vaishnava Prad, all the offenses follow. So we'll read few verses. But then we'll focus on our main theme of the mood of a disciple to his spiritual master. Text 1. Tam vande Krishna Chaitanyam Ramachandra Puri Bhayat Lauki Karanat Svambho Bhikshanam Samokchayat. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who reduced his eating due to fear of the criticism of Ramachandra Puri. Text 2. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Karuna Sindhu Avatara Brahma Shivadika Bhaje Charanayahara. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the incarnate of the mercy, ocean of mercy. His lotus feet are worshipped by demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Text 3. Jaya Jaya Avadhuta Chandra Nityananda Jagat Bandhi Lana Yena Diya Prima Bhanda. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu, the greatest of mendicants, who bound the entire world with a knot of ecstatic love for God. Beautiful. Jaya Jaya Dvaita Ishwara Avatara Krishna Avatari Kaila Jagat Nishtara. All glories to Advaita Prabhu, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He induced Krishna to descend and thus deliver the entire world. Text 5. Jaya Jaya Shiva Sadi Yata Bhakta Gana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Yana Pranadhana. All glories to all the devotees headed by Shivas Thakur. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu is their life and soul. Text 6. Ei Mata Gaura Chandra Nija Bhakta Sange Nila Chale Krida Kare Krishna Prema Tarange. Thus, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri performed his various pastimes with his devotees in the waves of ocean of love. In last verse for today, Hena Kele Ramachandra Puri Gosai Aila Paramananda Puri Rera Ara Prabhu Ramilila. Then, a sannyasi named Ramachandra Puri Gosai came to see Paramananda Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll stop here. So in the start of this chapter, Kaviraj, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he glorifies the Panchatattva. He glorifies Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He glorifies Nityananda Prabhu. He glorifies Advaita Acharya. And he also glorifies Shivas Thakur. And in the first verse, if we see, he summarizes, because that's what the pattern is being followed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that he always, you know, in the first verse of any chapter he begins, he summarizes the whole chapter, you know, what he is going to tell in the whole chapter. He summarizes that whole chapter in the first verse. And then in the next verse, he glorifies the Panchatattva. This time, you know, he individually glorified everybody. So he's now saying in the first verse that, let me offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who reduced his eating due to fear of the criticism of Ramachandra Puri. So why he reduced his eating and why there was a fear in his heart and what was the fear, that we'll see later on, because I don't want to disclose the whole chapter, you know, at one shot. So right now, what we will do is we will simply focus on, what do you say? Just 1 minute. Oh. 1 second, something happened to my Zoom. Just give me a couple of minutes.
Yes, Madhuri.
So what we will be doing is, we will be taking the contrast of the two disciples, that is Ishwarapuri and Ramachandrapuri. So we know that, you know, what happened was that Ramachandrapuri was a disciple of Madhavendrapuri, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regarded Ramachandrapuri also as a spiritual uncle. We have already discussed, because Ramachandrapuri was a disciple of Madhavendrapuri and was godbrother of Ishwarapuri, and Ishwarapuri being the spiritual father, being the spiritual master of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regarded Ramachandrapuri also as his spiritual uncle. But Ramachandrapuri was closely associated with people who are into dry speculative knowledge and who were basically not following the proper process of devotional service. Whereas Madhavendra Prabhupuri's another disciple, that is Ishwarapuri, he was always decorated with the aspects of devotional service. So what happened was, by the arrangement of providence, by the will of God, Madhavendra Puri became sick, and because of that old age, it was very difficult for him to move around, even to attend his nature call. So now Ishwarapuri, being so much devoted to his spiritual master, with utmost humility and with utmost great gratitude, he used to serve very, very patiently his spiritual master by bathing him, by cleaning his waste from his body. So such kind of menial services were also, you know, offered by Ishwarapuri to Madhavendra Puri. And not only that, at the same time, he would, you know, he would spread the holy name, because in the room where Madhavendra Puri was there, you know, Ishwarapuri, while doing any kind of services to Madhavendra Puri, he will simply chant the holy name. So he will saturate the whole environment with his beautiful devotional holy name. So that was his mood. So while chanting, he used to carry out all his services to his dear spiritual master. On the other hand, Ramachandrapuri was a critic, you know, and he was, because he was influenced by the Mayavadi philosophy, so his aspect was not onto the devotional front. So, you know, one day what happened, that Madhavendrapuri was feeling so much separation from Krishna and from Radha and Krishna, and especially from Dham, from Vrindavan Dham, that in the mood of Srimati Radharani, because when Srimati Radharani, when Krishna left Vrindavan, then Radharani was totally devastated. And she was crying with intense separation from Krishna. So similarly, Madhavendra Puri was also crying with the separation of Vrindavan Dham, of Radha and Krishna, because he couldn't even move and perform his devotional activities. So he was feeling intense separation from Vrindavan Dham. And he was crying that, "Oh my Lord, oh Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because by not seeing you, my heart is getting agitated and it has become unsteady. So what shall I do now?" This way, you know, he was crying, continuously crying. It's a beautiful verse, which is also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela. And he was simply crying that, you know, what should I do? And Ishwarapuri and Ramachandrapuri both were there, you know, beside his bedside. And immediately Ramachandrapuri said, "If you are in a full transcendental bliss, then you should now remember only Brahman. Why are you crying?" Now, hearing this statement, you know, Ramachandrapuri, Madhavendrapuri, it blew him up. You know, he became so agitated, so angry on Ramachandrapuri. And he said, "How dare you are saying this? Get out, oh sinful rascal. Why? Now I'm simply dying in this unhappiness. I'm not able to reach abode. I'm not able to reach my Lord Sri Krishna. And here you are instructing me that, you know, I should only remember Brahman. This is what, you know, you have learned from me. And you are telling me why I am crying." So, you know, how come this all has come? This is all because you were associating with that Mayavadis. Therefore, you know, that impersonalism has captured your mind. And therefore, the true philosophy that I taught you is the pure devotional service is nowhere now in your mind. So this is what happened when we expose ourselves to a Mayavadi philosophy. That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, time and again, you know, he warned us, Mayavadi bhashyashune hoy sarvanash. The moment we hear the philosophy of Mayavad, our devotional service will be doomed. Our devotional progress will be doomed. So this is what even happened with Ramachandra Puri, and Madhavendra Puri being so angry, he said, you better leave right now. I don't want to see your face now. Because if I die seeing you, I will not be able to achieve the destination of my life. Here I am dying, achieving the shelter of Lord Sri Krishna, and I'm so unhappy. But now you have come here and instructing me that go and meditate on Brahman. You know, this is something very, very bad about you, so better you just go away. I don't want to see your face. So this way, you know, Ramachandra Puri, he really offended Madhavendra Puri, his spiritual master. Now the point is that yes, realizing Brahman, or because see, we have to understand that we can understand the absolute nature, the supreme personality of Godhead in three phases. First is the Brahman, which is all-pervading. Next is the Paramatma, which is the localized form in the heart. Seeing the super soul, Krishna as the super soul in the heart of every living entity. And third is seeing the Bhagavan feature, the unique form of Lord Sri Krishna. Now, all these three aspects are related to absolute truth. They are not wrong at all, but they are incomplete. Realizing Brahman, seeing Krishna or absolute truth as Brahman is onto a very lower platform. And then if seeing Paramatma, and the third is seeing the Bhagavan feature. So seeing the Bhagavan feature, or realizing the personal aspect of the Supreme Lord, is the highest realization, and it brings the ultimate bliss onto the devotee of Lord Sri Krishna. So Brahman realization is not at all appealing to a person who is a devotee of Lord Sri Krishna. So therefore, Madhavendra Puri was so upset after hearing this comment that came out from Ramachandra Puri. So two things he did wrong, Ramachandra Puri. You know, we have to analyze what wrong he did. So two things he did wrong. First of all, correcting one's guru. You are nowhere that you are correcting your guru. We have no audacity, we have no authority that we can correct our guru. Because if guru is saying something, you know, we are nowhere to correct our guru. You know, this is the first thing that he did wrong. And secondly, that he recommended that his guru should focus on Brahman instead of his beloved Lord Sri Krishna. So because of this offensive behavior, Ramachandra Puri's devotional mood got diminished. And later what happened, that he even, you know, took up in criticizing the Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. So whereas Ishwara Puri was simply out of humility, he was serving Madhavendra Puri, and he was making Madhavendra Puri relish the holy names because he saturated the whole environment by his own chanting. So he received blessings from Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri was simply received rebuking from his spiritual master. Now, as a consequence of offending the guru, Ramachandra Puri acquired this tendency to criticize and fault find in all others. He lost the taste of devotional ecstasy, and he would just go on around and instruct people in the dry philosophical speculation. So this is the unfortunate, terrible result of guru aparad. So that's why it says that when we do guru aparad, there is no hope at all that we can ever progress, forget about progress. We can ever stay on the path of devotional service. We can st- stay on the path of spirituality, that is also not possible the moment we do Guru Aparad. So now we'll see that what are some lessons that we can learn from Sri Chaitanya, from Ravananda Puri's example, that what all lessons we can learn. So in this regard, I have already tried again. I have learned all these lessons, of course, from different speakers, but just for my own understanding, I have made acronym for it, and that is COAT, COAT, where first C stands for creeper of devotion. So, moment we find fault in others, moment we criticize other, moment do Guru Aparad or Vaishnav Aparad, the creeper of our devotion goes down. The creeper of our devotion is hampered. Just like it is said that, there's a famous verse, right? Yada Vaishnav Aparad Utehati Mata Upadavi Chindetara Sukhi Yaya Pata. So what happened is that when we do a devotion, Vaishnava Aparad, the whole creeper becomes sukha, like it becomes dried up. The creeper of our devotion becomes dried up. And each and every leaf, yaya patta, each and every leaf of our devotional plant, it dries up. And that is compared also to a mad elephant offense. Why? Because if there is a very beautiful garden and the moment the mad elephant comes in, you can imagine what will be the state of that garden. The garden will be ruined completely. That's why this offense of aparad, of doing Vaishnava aparad or Guru aparad, is regarded as madhata, hathi mata, like the mad elephant offense. So if a devotee commits such offense, the creeper of our devotional service is ruined. And there is no hope, no hope at all. If we do any kind of Vaishnava aparad, either to Vaishnava or to other Vaishnavas. And here we have the very classic example of Durvasa Muni, that how a great Durvasa Muni, he was a great mystic yogi, but he offended the great devotee of the Supreme Lord, that is Ambarish Maharaj. So the great sage Durvasa was to be chastised by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. Though the mystic yogi, this Durvasa Muni, he directly approached the Supreme Lord, but still he was never ever excused. Lord said, if you want to be excused, you have to go and ask forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj. So we have to be really careful. We as sadhakas should be very careful that we don't criticize anybody. We don't have the authority to criticize. So we should never ever criticize anyone whatsoever. We should never ever criticize anyone. What we have to take into account is that, yes, there are different, not only Guru Aparad, but our Vaishnava Aparad also we should try to avoid. We should have this understanding that all the disciples of Guru, they are not onto the equal platform, right? They may or they may not take initiation at the same time, but their level of sincerity, their level of surrender, their level of obedience, their level of dedication is always different. Okay, so we have to understand that all disciples are not on the same level. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in this regard would always say that we should always see in our own self. We should try to rectify ourselves rather than doing any kind of rectification or correction for others. So that, we have to avoid. And on the other hand, we have to serve the spiritual master as well as serve the other God brothers and God sisters in connection to the Supreme Lord. That yes, they are also the devotees of the Supreme Lord, and we should never disrespect them and never should try to criticize or never try to correct them. So this is the first C, that our creeper of devotion goes down the moment we criticize others. Then is the second is O. O stands for offenses. Now, as I in the starting of the class also, I was mentioning that when a devotee offends another devotee, the door is opened for other great offenses. So it's not you are stuck with one offense that, okay, you have done a Vaishnava prat and you are stuck with other one offense. Or when you are criticizing or you are doing fault finding, that just one anartha is there and you get stick to it. No, the moment you do criticizing, the moment you criticize others, moment you find fault in others, immediately all other offenses will also follow. There will be pride, as we all know, there will be lust, there will be greed. So many other anarthas will follow the moment we do any kind of aparad. So here, Ramachandrapuri, he offended his spiritual master, and because of which, he in future we'll see that how he even tried to criticize all other disciples and of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Jagananda Pandit, and he even criticized Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the other, it opens the door for all other offenses also. So this criticizing others or doing a Vaishnava prat, it's really, you know, that we have to step up nicely so that we don't ever commit such kind of a prat. Then A stands for association, COAT. A stands for association, that we have to really introspect whom we are associating with. Now, Ramachandrapuri, since he was continuously associating with Mayavadis, therefore he got that tendency of Mayavadis, you know. That's why the impersonalism was there in his mind, because he was continuously associating with all those Mayavadis. So this is also very important, whom we are associating with. If we are associating with materialistic, lusty people, greedy people, then definitely we'll carry on their mood. You know, that's why, you know, it's always says that you tell me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. So this is the right, you know, the way it is, that whom we are associating with tells us that what type of nature, what type of attitude we have. Because we carry the influence of others. People around us influence. That's why it is said that we have to associate with like-minded people. Like-minded people, those who are in the process of devotional service, so that we can talk to them about Krishna. We can talk to them about devotional service. We can talk to them about the temple services. We can talk to them about the various scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this way we'll get the opportunity to glorify the Supreme Lord. This is very, very important, that association of like-minded devotees is very, very important. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, there's a beautiful example that I'll not go into that whole story, but the point is, the thing is that, you know, when we are associating with the like-minded or we are associating with the devotees, then it doesn't mean that we just talk about mundane things and we say, oh, I'm associating with the devotees. No. Association of devotees means that we have to really glorify Lord Sri Krishna. We should talk only about Krishna. We should discuss only about scriptures. We should discuss only about holy name. And we should give our association as well as take their association. This is what, you know, it is, that when we are associating with the devotees. So it is very, very important. We have to check and introspect our circle, that who, with what all people we are, you know, talking or we are connecting, and who are influencing us. So, you know, time and again, we have to introspect. If something wrong is happening or we are getting diverted from the path of devotional service, then we have to put a stop there. That, okay, if this person's criticism is bothering me, then okay, you know, just fold your hands and stay away from that person. So this is, you know, A stands for that, how we have to be, look for our association. And last is T. T is that the disciples or the devotees should be very, very thoughtful, very, very thoughtful and very, very careful that they themselves don't do any kind of Vaishnava prad, and they don't even take any kind of criticism. Now, this point I'll try to explain in two aspects. That the thing is, when we receive criticism, how the disciples, how the devotees should be thoughtful. When we accept any criticism, somebody criticizes us, you know, this is the first aspect. Then we have to take it as a constructive criticism that, oh, this person is criticizing me maybe for my benefit. Now, if that criticism that is coming from others is bothering us or keeping our morale down or discouraging us in performing any kind of devotional service, then yes, with folded hands, we should try to maintain that distance. Or we have to talk to our Shiksha Gurus or our mentors or our spiritual master, so and so forth. We can take guidance from them if such criticism is bothering us. First of all, we have to take that criticism in a constructive way, that another person is criticizing me. Okay, this is for my betterment only. Okay, this is for my benefit so that I can improve. For my improvement, everything is coming. If we are not able to take it in that way, if that criticism is not helping us or not improving us, and if it is making our morale down or is discouraging us, then yes, we have to talk to our seniors or try to maintain distance from that person. Even that person is a devotee, you know, like all devotees, as I mentioned, is not of the same level. So just making that distance from the devotee doesn't mean that we are doing a Vaishnava aparad. So that we have to really keep in our mind, because sometimes these two things are always mixed up, that I want to make the whole world happy. No, you cannot. We cannot make the whole world happy. So this thing, you know, we have to keep in our mind. So this, like if some devotees we are not comfortable with, because it's only with few devotees that you will be able to share your confidential heart to them, but not to everybody, right? So with few devotees, if we are not comfortable, if they're talking and if they're criticizing or if they're, the way of their talking is not helping us, then yes, we don't have to commit any offense against them, but yes, we can maintain a, you know, a safe distance. So that, you know, we don't get influenced by their saying or whatever they talk. So this is the first way. If we are able to take it, well and good, take it as a constructive criticism and we can improve ourselves. But if we are not able to do it, then maintain a safe distance. This is the first aspect. If somebody criticizes us, the next thoughtfulness should come when we are criticizing others. Now, this is very, very important. When we are criticizing others, first of all, we should never criticize. The very first thing, we should never, ever criticize. But sometimes when we are into some kind of a leadership position, then, you know, there has to be some comments that has to be passed. Because what is criticism? Criticism is actually giving your feedback, giving your comment on something. Now, normally it is always on to the negative connotation when we criticize somebody. But sometimes it is always a constructive criticism. Like when we take criticism constructively, we can give constructive criticism also. But at that time, we have to literally see a few things. First of all, whether we really are eligible to give any kind of constructive criticism. Do I have that authority to find some faults in others and criticize or pass on any comments? We have to really see, do I have the authority? If yes, then we should see, am I doing this criticizing others is for his or her benefit, or I'm just doing it out of my frustration? That also we have to check. This is all the checkpoints that we have to imbibe in our life. So first of all is that, yes, do I have that authority to criticize others? Next is that, if yes, you can see yourself that, okay, that person is, you know, has just started Krishna consciousness, you know, that person treats me as a mentor, then, you know, then we have to see that, you know, I'm doing it not because of any kind of frustration, but trying to improve that person. Like we see, like I'll give you an example that if surgeon is there, right? So the surgeon has a knife. Now with that knife, the surgeon has the full authority to cut off any vein and any nerve, because this is to improve the patient. Now, if surgeon thinks that, oh, now I have a knife, I have the authority, I can cut here and there and, you know, just spoil that whole surgery, that won't work, right? So similarly, if we have that authority, we should make proper use of that authority. That we have to see whether I'm doing it for the improvement or for out of my frustration. Now, if it is for the improvement, the next step is that we have to see whether my criticism will really boost up the morale of other person or will bring or will discourage another person. So that also we have to see. If our criticism, because some people are really, really very, very sensitive. The moment you say something, even for their improvement, they'll take up to their heart. And to an extent that they will even stop practicing devotional service. So we have to be really very, very careful seeing the sensitivity of other people. That when we criticize or when we pass on any comments, even for their improving, even after having eligibility, we have to be very, very sensitive towards their sensitivity. That, you know, if they are not able to handle and if that is going to, you know, bring their morale down, then we should always shut our mouth. Even it is for their benefit, even if we have the eligibility and authority, but still, you know, we should not take it up. Take that process, because that will bring them down. We don't have to bring anyone's spirituality down, irrespective of what. Sometimes we have to let go things and let Krishna intervene and Krishna take care. So these are the four important things that we really learn from the lessons of Ramachandra Puri, that how he offended. I'll repeat, it is quote, C stands for the creeper of devotion. O stands for it opens the door for other great offenses. A stands for association, how we associate, whom we associate. And last is T, that how we have to be thoughtful when being criticized and while criticizing others or passing comment on others. So these are the various ways. But also now we'll just reflect for a few minutes on to the lessons that we learn from Ishwarapuri's example. So the first lesson that we learn from Ishwarapuri's example is that how we have to serve our spiritual master as the menial servant, how he served. This attitude is very, very important. The spiritual master is the representative of the Supreme Lord. It's only by the mercy of the spiritual master that we get to associate with the Supreme Lord. And it's only because of the mercy of the Supreme Lord that we get a bona fide spiritual master. So we should never ever take this process as granted. We should always and always, whenever we get chance, we should always try to serve our spiritual master. Vapu Seva is important, but Vani is also more important. So we should always carefully serve the Vani of our spiritual master also. And whenever the opportunity arises, the Guru's Vapu Seva, we should never, you know, we should always try to serve and never take a step back. This is the first example. Ishwarapuri served his spiritual master Madhavendra Puri in a very, very menial way. And also he carried out his instructions also, seeing the personal form and glorifying the holy name. The second, you know, what we see from the example of Ishwarapuri is that how with the full blessings of the Lord comes, then a person becomes a really surrendered disciple. That is what, you know, sincere service when one performs to one spiritual master, it gives personal satisfaction not only to the spiritual master, but also to the Supreme Lord. So the mercy comes from the spiritual master as well as the Supreme Lord. So both the things happen. So when we serve our spiritual master, we are satisfying the Supreme Lord simultaneously. It's not that, you know, we have to especially serve the Supreme Lord and we should reject our services to our spiritual master. This is very, very important we have to take, because spiritual master is a representative of the Supreme Lord. third example that we see, which is humility, which is very, very important, that, you know, how with a humble mood, without having even a tinge of pride or without having a tinge of any kind of jealousy or any kind of anartha, Ishwarapuri was very, very, you know, with simple heartedness, with humbleness, he was serving Madhavendrapuri. So this is very, very important of grabbing that aspect of humility. Last but not the least is that fourth one that we get to learn from the life of Ishwarapuri is that one who has complete faith in both Krishna and Guru, like Ishwarapuri, then the Vedic knowledge will automatically will be revealed. And this is what happened in the case of Ishwarapuri. We don't have to make an extra endeavor. Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashito. The transcendental knowledge automatically gets revealed when we serve our spiritual master. No extra effort is applied. For example, just, you know, it says that when we have to progress in our devotional service, how jnana and vairagya are very, very important. But do devotees really focus on that jnana aspect and the vairagya aspect? No. They just focus on the devotional service and jnana and vairagya automatically follows. The more you do devotional service, the more knowledge you will get and the more renunciate one becomes. So similarly, when we serve our spiritual master in a humble mood, then this aspect of Vedic knowledge, it automatically gets revealed. Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashito. This is very, very important. So these are the ways, you know, these are the lessons that I could just focus when I was hearing this pastime. I read through a couple of pages, but I just don't want to disclose the whole story. Let other speakers get this chance to glorify this beautiful chapter. But just the summarization of the chapter that describes about Ramachandrapuri and Ishwarapuri, I thought that it's very, very important that how we can imbibe, you know, from these pastimes, how we can imbibe and improve ourselves, which is very, very important if we really want to progress in our spiritual life or in our devotional progress. So I'll stop here. It was a short class, but that's what I just want to say. Thank you all so much. And Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna Kirtidas Sundari Mataji, thank you so much. It was such a nice instructor class. I thought it was very, very nicely put and a very beautiful lessons, which is easily something that we can imbibe and apply. Thank you so much, Mataji. I really like this introduction class because it sets the mood to look into the chapter further. So thank you for touching upon the life of both Ishwarapuri as well as the contrast with Ramachandrapuri and how to avoid criticism. Thank you so much, Mataji. I don't have any questions, but I really wanted to appreciate the very lovely class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. I know I don't normally prefer giving instructive classes, but believe me, these all instructions are for me, myself, so that I can, you know, improve myself and imbibe all that mood.
I mean, it's really helpful. It is helpful for everyone, not just you, Mataji. It's very, very helpful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanuk Pranam of Hare Krishna, Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji. It's so beautiful. Yeah. It's a very much needed for us how we have to be so careful, you know, not to offend devotees. And then I also just wanted to share small things, Mataji, that I was hearing one lecture a long time back, and that is a seminar of nature of devotion. And then Maharaj was, the devotee were asking about some devotees, even criticism, he was telling, even you should not criticize or tell anything bad in the absence of there, you know. Means that mentality will develop to criticize. We just say something. Means if the devotee are not there, we say something maybe bad or something, think or say something with the devotee, and then he was scolding the devotee, what means, what right you have, even though absence, in their absence also do not think about the bad things. He was telling, I was reminding that Mataji. Thank you so much. It's a really
thank you, Anjana Gopika Mataji. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for your association.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Dandavat pranam to you and all. Why Ishwar Puri was the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and Madhavendra Puri is the Madhavendra Puri. Why we call him as a still as a Mayavadi or Ishwar Puri?
I couldn't get it, Prabhu. Can you repeat your question?
Do we say like Ishwar Puri was Mayavadi first before?
No. Ishwar Puri was never a Mayavadi. No. Ramachandra Puri, because he was associating with Mayavadis, he developed that Mayavadi tendency, though he was also the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. But Ishwar Puri was a very true, dedicated, sincere disciple of Madhavendra Puri and was also the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Right, okay.
He was not Mayavadi at all,
right? Okay, no, before that, Madhavendra Puri? No.
He was not Mayavadi. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas guru was a Mayavadi. Keshava Bharti, whom he took
sannyas. Keshava Bharti was Mayavadi, right? Yeah, right.
He was Mayavadi.
Yes.
Yeah, from whom he took sannyas initiation. Harinam Diksha that he got from Ishwara Puri, he was not.
There is a still confusion is going on with the Bharti.
That is from when he took sannyas initiation. He took it from Keshava Bharti, but he didn't add Bharati along with his name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stuck with his original name, Sri Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya, that was given by Ishwara Puri. He didn't add Bharati to it. But the various reasons are being given that why he took sannyas initiation from a Mayavadi is that because at that time only Mayavadi was there who were giving sannyas initiation, and it was their prominence was there. So that to get that respectable position so that people respect Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took that initiation from Keshava Bharati. But also it is said that, Keshava Bharati took that humble position and he said that I'm not going to initiate you, who am I? So at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uttered that sannyasa mantra into the ears of Keshava Bharati, and then the same sannyas mantra was uttered by Keshava Bharati into the ears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is said that Mahaprabhu first initiated Keshava Bharati and then further got initiation from him. So Ishwara Puri was not Mayavadi. He was.
Yes. Okay. So the Bharati last. They were holding a one dandi, and our sampradaya is they're holding three dandas.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, my pranam and to all the devotees.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for a beautiful. I have a question. I didn't understand what Brahman means and the other two that you mentioned that. Could you please explain that?
Mataji, I couldn't get your voice broke. What you said?
I understand you mentioned Brahman.
Oh, Brahman, yeah. And then? This is what your question is?
I didn't understand. What does that mean?
Oh, okay. Got it, Mataji. So what is there? To understand, to realize the absolute truth, the supreme feature of that absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. There are three ways, in which the different categories of people understand the supreme Lord. So, jnanis means those who are into that speculative knowledge, who understand that this material world is not worth living, and they try to renounce everything. So though their renunciation is not on to the highest level, but they try to renounce and they try to merge with the Supreme Lord. So they want to attain that Brahman realization. Now, what is this Brahman realization? Is they want to be at peace. They want to merge into the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord, Brahman realization, is the only effulgence that is coming from the Supreme Lord. That is what is the Brahman realization. Okay. So sometimes, you know, in some organizations, you'll always get to know that, you know, we see light when we meditate, you know, or we see some kind of energy. So all this light, this energy, this is all, yes, it is coming from the Supreme Lord itself. So this is not wrong. It is right, but it is only the incomplete nature. In Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada gives a very, very beautiful example. He gives the example of sun. So when the sun rises and you are in a room, right? So the sun rays come to your room, right? So what do you say? Normally we say that sun has come or sun has arisen. But this is not actually sun. This is just the rays of the sun. But yes, these rays are also not false because they are coming from sun itself, right? So it's not wrong. So seeing just the rays of the sun and realizing that this is sun, is not wrong, but it is incomplete. It's not wrong if we say that if the sun rays are coming in my room and if I say that sun has come, it's not wrong. But technically, it is just the sun rays. It's not that the sun has come into my room. It's only the sun rays. So realizing the sun rays to be the sun is the Brahman realization. When the jnanis, they see the energy of the Supreme Lord, they see the light of the Supreme Lord and understand that this is what the Supreme Lord is and consider that this is my ultimate destination, my ultimate goal is what is Brahman realization. Then comes the Paramatma realization. The mystic yogis, the Ashtanga yogis, when they follow this process of Yam, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Dhyarana, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. When they come on to that Samadhi level, you know, following these eight processes, Ashtanga Yoga, and they come on to the Samadhi level, at that time, they see the Paramatma, the feature of the Supreme Lord in their heart, the four-handed Narayana. So this is what is the Paramatma realization. Now, relating it to the sun example, the yogis, they understand that, yes, the sun rays are coming, but it is coming from a sun, planet. You know, there is a globe from there the sun rays are coming. So they understand that, yes, there is a sun and from there the rays are coming. So this is the second aspect. This is also not wrong. Definitely it is right, right, that there is a sun and from there the rays are coming into my room. But this is also incomplete. Because the third reason, the third way to understand the Supreme Lord is the Bhagavan realization. Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, and Bhagavan realization. Now, this Bhagavan realization is normally realized by the devotees, where they see the personal aspect of the Supreme Lord, where they have that rasa with the Supreme Lord. They can have the relationship of neutrality. They can have the relationship of servitorship. They can have the relationship of friendship, where you have a relationship with the Supreme Lord and you understand that the Supreme Lord is a person. Now, this is what the Bhagavan realization is. Now, relating this example to the sun is that the devotee or a person, the advanced devotee, he understands that, yes, rays are coming from the sun, but there is a sun god. There is a person who is there in that sun planet, and because of which the sun is there and, you know, the rays are coming. So there is a sun god, Vivaswan, like in present Manvantara, there is a name that is given, that is Vivaswan. So these are the three ways in which we can understand. This is the three realizations. Another example which normally given is train. When you are standing on a platform and you have never seen a train, and when you see some sound and some light, so people who are into that Brahman realization, they will just see the light of the train coming and they'll see, oh, this light is train, because they have never seen the train. They know that this is a train. Now, and they'll go. and some will be still standing, and they'll see the train coming and they'll examine, okay, there is a engine and there are various cabins that are being attached to it, and they'll understand, okay, this is train, and they'll go. But still there'll be some standing on the platform where they see that there is a person who is driving the train. So this is the whole, the main aspect. If the person is not driving, then the train has no value. So there is a person behind it. Seeing the person form, personality behind everything is the Bhagavan realization. Hope that helps, Shivani Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much, my Dhanvad Pranam to you, for explaining so wonderfully. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. It's all because of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has given all these examples in his Bhagavad Gita as it is. So all glories to him. Okay. Anyone else has anything?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for the class. The story of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas from Keshava Bharati Maharaj. I was wondering if you could back it up a little bit. Back up means go a little bit, you know, further in history to explain how it is that Lord Chaitanya came to give the mantra to Keshava Bharati first. You know, how did what was the sequence of events that led up to his doing that? You know what I mean?
So why? Because, I mean, who took sannyas? You mean to say?
No. I mean, how should I explain? You know, in other words, it wasn't just like fun. I think it wasn't just spontaneously that he whispered that mantra into Keshava Bharati's ear, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, what was the conversation that led to him whispering that mantra into his ear? Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I cannot back up with any Shastric reference because right now it's not there in my head. But what I have heard from other speakers and, you know, other gurus, that how when Mahaprabhu approached Keshava Bharati, Keshava Bharati, you know, he knew that who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Though he was a Mayavadi sannyasi, but he knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. So therefore, you know, he was hesitant in initiating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted that sannyas initiation. So he said that, you know, I'm not... Who am I to initiate you? Because he recognized the importance, he recognized the true Bhagavan thing in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knew that he is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he whispered the same the sannyas mantra into his ears, and later the same sannyas mantra was uttered in the ears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is what happened. But exactly, it's there in Adi Leela. I really don't know. Or if it's mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that also I don't know. I just can't say it blankly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess another thing I was curious about was the fact that that Keshava Bharati, although he was Mayavad, he was aware that Krishna, that Lord Chaitanya is God. You know, I'm wondering about that also.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was aware.
Yeah, but I mean to say, Mayavad means that they don't believe, right, in the personality of Godhead. They believe in impersonalism. So I was just wondering about how he would have that understanding, considering he was Mayavad.
But he knew though he was a Mayavadi, but he knew that he is the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, I know he knew, but you know, it just seems like okay.
Anyone else can add to it?
So he's not more Mayavadi then, probably. He was Mayavadi, but he realized he's an Ishwara.
Yeah,
so he's no more Mayavadi anymore.
Madhuri's question is that how come when Mayavadis don't believe in the personal aspect, so how he, being Mayavadi, knew that Supreme, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme One?
Mercy of the Lord also sometimes gives on the persons that he realized there is some realizations happens also. That mercy also from the Lord itself to that Bharati. He's a guru. There's a possibility in the mercy is coming from the Lord. But to show to the world that I'm taking initiations, sannyas initiations also. For Lord, it doesn't matter. He takes from whom sannyas. For us to, whoever going to take the sannyas, they should know that we should not take the sannyas from Mayavadi. But for the Lord, it doesn't matter anything. So I think he gave him a realization that... probably, I can say like that on my thinking. That's all.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for the wonderful class, Mataji. And actually on this, in Nectar of Devotion yesterday we were reading, there is a part where Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the book that the Mayavadis, they do realize sometimes the personal features of the Lord. So it is there in Nectar of Instruction, which chapter I need to go back and see.
That's true, like the impersonalist, you not say Mayavadis, but impersonalist, because they are of two types. One is Brahmavadis and one is Mayavadis.
Okay.
So impersonalist, they are from the Brahmavadis, like we say Shukdev Goswami, or we say the four Kumaras. You know, they were the Brahmavadis. They realize that the Supreme Lord is there, but their attraction is towards the Brahman realization. So they are Brahmavadis. But there are Mayavadis who literally, you know, deny the presence of the Supreme Lord. So they are more offensive.
How about Shankaracharya? Because he wrote Jagannath Ashtakam, right? And many other things.
Shankaracharya was a Mayavadi, but at the same time, because he is an expansion of the Supreme Lordship. So definitely he has come for some purpose. So is totally different because he came for some purpose. So that's why he wrote Bhaj Govindam, he wrote Jagannath Ashtakam.
Okay, yeah, thank you for the clarification, Mata.
He came for some specific purpose to propagate this Mayavadi, just to so that, you know, people may stop they were rejecting the Vedas, right? Because Buddha came, he said that no Vedas. So just to establish the importance of Vedas, Shankaracharya came.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the clarification.
Hi, Krishna Mataji, Dhanva Pranams. Mataji, I found some details from Indradum Swami Maharaj's, you know, Parikrama, where he explains this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sanyas Diksha pastime. And he says that, you know, like, the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and singing in ecstasy, and then Kesho Bharati saw it, and then he at once knew that this is the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It cannot be any ordinary soul like that. And then he was very reluctant also to give the sannyas diksha to him. Mm-hmm. But then, like you rightly said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whispered the mantra in his ears, and then he initiated him like that.
Yes, it is in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't find reference for this pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhu. It'll be nice if you can point me the reference, because this I found, like Mataji said, in Maharaj's lectures, things like that, but I did not find this more details of the pastime, like,
I have read that also some, not in Chaitanya Charitamrita exactly, but someone wrote about the Chaitanya Charitamrita, But mm-hmm. I have read this one, the what the Maharaj said also.
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, Maharaj, yeah. I think they have other sources. Yeah, but I really could not find in CC. But yeah, Indradu Maharaj has explained this pastime.
Yes, this is true. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. So I could find something in Srimad Bhagavatam in the preface and the introduction. Prabhupada writes that how Keshava Bharati came to the home of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then Lord asked him to award him sannyas order of life. But that was just a formality. That's what Prabhupada mentions. Then in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila chapter 3 verse number 34 purport also Prabhupada mentions that how Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas from Keshava Bharati. But when he first approached Keshava Bharati, he accepted as a brahmachari with the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmachari. And after he took sannyas, but he preferred to keep the same name. So how Keshava Bharati, being a Mayavadi, knew that the Supreme Lord, that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Supreme Lord, is not mentioned. That I can't find. So maybe Gaurangi Mataji will look up into it and let's see if something we come up to it.
Mataji, do we know the identity of Keshava Bharati in Krishna Leela, if indeed he has a role there? Mm-hmm. I thought once I might have heard that, but I'm not sure.
Puri, I knew that Ramachandrapuri was Vibhishan in Ramayana Leela, but Keshava Bharati also. No, I'll just wait. I'll look it up.
Mataji, it says he was Sandipani Muni, Guru of Krishna and Balram.
Yeah, Sandipani Muni, right?
Now I remember. Okay, so, thank you, Mataji. Huh? Thank you for adding, yes, Sandipani Muni.
Yes, that sounds familiar. Okay, right. But you said that Ramachandra Puri, he was Vibhushan in Ramayana? Yes,
in Ramayana Leela, he was
Vibhushan. And Jatila, it says Jatila also, I said.
It's some, you know, attributes of Jatila, but mainly he was.
Mm. Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. So they are all being used in a service of the Supreme Lord, just to teach us so that we can live by that.
Yeah,
okay, anything else?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I have a small confusion, Mataji. Since the class, we had the discussion of Brahman and Paramatma, everything. And so from the introduction, Mataji, I'm trying to understand that Ramachandra Puri, first he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So he must be a Vaishnava with seeing God as a personal form and he should be going in that worship. Mm-hmm. Then later you said he was influenced by the Mayavadis. Mataji?
Because he associated with
me. Yes, he had the association with the Mayavadis. So now Mayavadis, they are not into Bhagavan platform. Mm-hmm. They are in a lower level. So how does the shift happen, Mataji? He's already in worshipping like a Bhagavan in a higher level. Now he is coming down. So is it possible that happens like that? I'm trying to understand.
Consciousness is just walking on a sharp razor edge. If we are really not diligent on what and where we are walking, the fall down can happen very easily. Krishna consciousness is simply walking on a sharp razor edge. If we are not diligent, if we are not 100%, you know, determined in where we are walking, then the fall down happens anytime. And that's why it is said that we have to guard our garden of devotion through that fence, not letting any other, not even the deer, what to talk about elephant, to enter and ruin our garden. And these animals, when they come and they ruin our garden, is when we get influence of other people. So it will not take a second for the garden to be ruined. It can happen. It's not that the fall down cannot happen. It can happen. But rest is up to Krishna, because Krishna sometimes teaches us through this fall down and brings us back. It's not that we cannot come back. We can always come back also. But yes, the fall down can happen. We have to be very diligent. We have to be very, you know, with our open eyes and ears, we have to walk on this path on Krishna consciousness.
Yes, Mataji, so now we can know why Prabhupada in all his lectures keeps on saying about Mayavad. And
no, he himself will say, Prabhupada, you know, there is a lot of places it's been mentioned. Then Prabhupada, when he would stand in front of deities, he would say, please protect me from Maya. No, who is Prabhupada? And still he's praying because he knows this Maya is very strong. He can easily get influenced from the outer world. Very easily. It happens in a second and we'll not be able to even, you know, believe that this has happened. But it happens. Instantaneously it happens.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. It was a wonderful class and good introduction for the new chapter. Thank you so much. Jai Sachinandana. Hare Krishna.
That's a nice topic of discussions also in future probably for all of us.
Thank you.
Krishna. Hare Krishna ji, Kriti Das Sundari Mataji, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Mataji, I missed first 25 minutes, but I will hear and I will make a notes and send it to you. Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam. Such a nice, healthy association we get from all Vaishnava. And you and Prithvilasini is the heart of this Sisi Bhagavatam and Sisi Chitranathram. Everyday learning lesson from both of you. Hari Hari Gauranga Mataji. So many information you give me. Hare Krishna, all of us. Hare Krishna Mataji. Jai Jai Nityananda, Jai Jai Gauranga.
This is for our own self, Mataji, so that the more we speak, the more we realize that yes, now is the time to imbibe also.
Yes, Mataji.
For us. And yes, you rightly said this Bhakti Sangha, it's the temple, right? In the morning you can do chanting and then there is a Bhagavatam class following all the protocols of the temple. So yes, we should cherish this association.
I want to add one thing, Mataji, please forgive me. Only take 1 minute. That yesterday Adji Giraj Maharaj told that those who are attending morning japa, morning Bhagavatam, Sisi Chitana Chanamru, they don't think that, I always meet Sridham Rumdavandam, they don't think that I am not in a qualified to enter in Sridham Rumdavandam or Sisi Mayapur Dham or Sisi Jagannath Puri Dham. They all Dham is there. When the association of Vaishnava, we get the nectar of Sisi Chitana Chanamru, Sisi Bhagavatam, Sisi Bhagavad Gita and morning japa. Hari Hari Gauranga. Thank you, Mataji.
Vrindavan is there where Krishna is glorified. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Kirti Dasundari Mataji. Very nice class.
Hare Krishna, Kamadhi.
I want, would you please explain how we can not let enter this mad elephant in the garden?
How we cannot let the mad elephant enter our garden.
Yeah.
And so the only way is that keep the fence. When you have a fencing around the garden, then no animal can enter. And that fencing is the association of like-minded devotees. That's the only way we can protect the mad elephant to enter into our garden.
Okay.
Just to fence our garden. We have the strong fences, the big iron fences around our garden, then no animal can enter. And that fence is association of like-minded devotees. We should always leave our materialistic friends. You know, there is no harm by politely saying no, that this is my standard now and I cannot associate. There is no harm in saying, if they cannot follow our standard and they cannot keep up to our standard, we can always, you know, say no to them because it is for our benefit. For being selfless, first we have to be selfish. So for our selfishness, for our bhakti, for our creeper to grow, we have to fence around and don't let any animals, any materialistic thoughts are not being influenced by any materialistic people. Mataji, you know so much, but you asked for my purification. Maybe you yourself can add.
Thank you very much. Because I do have the fans of Bhakti Sangha Japa group, so that's very good. But still, I don't want to get out of it. And I just want to keep the fans, so at least to protect. Yeah.
Yes, Mantiji. Bhakti Sangha every day, so many classes. If we attend all the classes, why not even kids' classes? We get so much to learn from kids' classes.
Yes, Mataji. Yes, I agree with you. They are higher level.
Ah, we don't have any time. You know, sometimes I also watch all the kids' classes on Facebook. So we don't have time for any other thought to come in. Back to back, there are so many classes. So this is what the association is.
I'd like to add, Mataji, for the question where Mataji was asking about the fence, because I remember once Prabhuji was telling in his lecture that the intelligence we get from Gita, where Krishna's words, the intelligence is also a best fence to protect us from, like when we come across unwanted or different ideas, which seems to be like very relevant. They seem, that's a maya, they seem like they are there for us. But to differentiate from that, Prabhuji was telling we need to take the guidance of Krishna's words. The intelligence is also a fence for the mind. He was telling like that. I just wanted to add, Mataji. Thank you.
Very true. Intelligence is the fence for the mind, provided that intelligence is sharpened by the association of devotees and by the knowledge of the scriptures. If the intelligence is also not sharpened, then the intelligence will flow with the mind. Whatever the senses will desire, mind will say, let me give all this to the senses, and intelligence will give the sanctioning. Intelligence will give the sanctioning. That's what happened with the terrorists. They also have their mind and intelligence, but their intelligence goes with the flow of the mind. So the intelligence have to be really sharpened with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Only then the intelligence can act as a fence. If the intelligence is not proper, then intelligence will flow with the mind. Thank you for adding that, Lakshmi Mataji.
Thank you, Lakshmi Mataji. Thank you very much, Krishnadasani Mataji. Very nice. Although I joined a little late, but still I heard whatever it was telling you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Okay, so thank you all so much. With all your permission, we can end up our call now.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Yeah, if there are no other questions or comments, we can end the class. Thank you all so much for joining us and giving us your valuable association. Hare Krishna. Thank you again to Krishnadasundari Mataji for the very beautiful question answer session and the lovely class. Hare Krishna. Vancha Kalpata Radio, Kripa Sindhu Devacha, Patika Nandravani Devashan, Radio Namo Namaha, Ananta Koti Vashna, Vrinda Koti Vashna, Kabupada Ki Jai, Chai, 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 Chai,
Chai. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.